Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free Posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
When we first started the bridal boutique, we rented the space right next door to my portrait studio. And I started researching more what boutique meant, because I always thought of it as a noun. But if you think of boutique as a verb, it's creating something that is so special that you don't need a lot of it to be satisfied. For me, the best way forward for me personally with my energy, and I know what I feel best taking on, it was to create something where I could work minimally, I could put out the best work I could possibly do, and have the most amount of profit coming back to me because of it, versus putting all of that out just into small things that were just eating up my time and space.
This is the Portrait System Podcast, a show that helps portrait photographers and people hoping to become one navigate the world of photography, business, money, and so much more. We totally keep it real. We share stories about the incredible ups and the very difficult downs when running a photography business. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and the point of this podcast is for you to learn actionable steps that you can take to grow your own business and also to feel inspired and empowered by the stories you hear. Today's guest is Emily with Emily Jane Photography and also with White Willow Bridal Boutique. And it's important for me to mention White Willow because Emily not only grew her photography business from the ground up, but she sort of morphed it into not only a photo studio, but also a wedding dress boutique. And she was so smart and efficient with the way she did it. Emily is just a true example that you can turn your business into whatever you want it to be. She went from growing up on a farm doing physical labor to like bringing her dreams to life with such a beautiful feminine brand in a business that she's very successful at. But it's not like Emily had the smoothest start to all of this. And in fact, Emily and I had a heart-to-heart back when we met in person many years ago because she wasn't even confident that she was able to get her photography business off the ground at all. So here she is now with this amazing business, and she shares with us how she did it all during this episode. Okay, let's get started with Emily Jane.
Hey, Emily, how are you?
Hi, Nikki. I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you today. I haven't seen you in a while, so this will be a nice catch-up for us.
Indeed. Yes, I feel the same way.
You just have such a really beautiful story, and I know that you have incorporated another business within your photography business, and so I can't wait for you to tell people all about this, because it's really cool. And sometimes I look at the photos of your studio and your space and everything you do, and my jaw just like drops to the floor. It's so beautiful. So I'm really excited to hear how you did all of this and to share your whole story.
Thank you, Nikki. Yes, it's definitely been an evolution for sure.
Okay, well, why don't you start then from the beginning? So just take us back to when you first started photography, or, you know, what you were doing before photography, really.
So, I guess a big part of who I am and kind of where my work ethic has come from was that I grew up on a grain farm in northern BC, Canada. I kind of learned what it took to take an idea and get it to fruition and to just work really hard at what you need to do and to follow dreams as well.
I would imagine that on a grain farm, I mean, that's like manual labor, like, you know, on top of the business side of the work that I'm sure your family did. Like, that's a lot of work.
Yes. And the thing was, though, it was a dream. It was a dream for my parents. We immigrated to Canada when I was four so that my dad could keep farming. And so I was kind of a part of their dream growing up. Anyway, I left for university and did that whole piece. And the funny thing was that when I graduated from university, my family bought me a camera and I was not going to university for photography. I was going for kinesiology. But as soon as I had that camera in my hands, my whole world changed. So I actually started my business from my parents' basement. I remember putting my website together and just working on editing images in their basement, and migrated to the living room after a while because I was doing it all the time and I was just never seen.
So you never planned on photography whatsoever. So you were into like kinesiology. And okay, this makes me sound really, probably really stupid, but is that dance okay. related?
So it's a study. It's a study of human movement.
Okay.
Growing up, I was a dancer. I loved dance. I thought that that was going to be my path, mm-hmm. and so I thought going that route would be the best for me. And I was going to get into physiotherapy or something down that route. But I was just, the artist in me was too strong. I had to do something with art.
Wow. So okay. So then you were given the camera and you just started going for it.
Got the camera, started going for it. It definitely wasn't my plan to ever run a business with photography. It was just kind of a hobby. But people started noticing my work and started asking me to do photo shoots for them. And I just kind of had to start charging finally. I was like, oh, I'm starting to do this way too much. Like, I have to make some money at this.
Right.
And I remember my first photo shoot, I charged $95 because I just didn't know what to do. I had no business background in it or anything. So that was my start. Anyway, that was my start in photography. And I just kind of kept building a portfolio of anything and everything when I first started, as many photographers do. And shortly after, I met my now husband, Mark, and I moved to Prince George. And I was in his mother's basement when I was working away on some images and really just burnt out to the bone, trying to go back and forth between where I was living, which was Dawson Creek, and Prince George, which are 4 hours apart. For people who want to get an idea of where I'm located, I'm about an 8-hour drive north of Vancouver.
Okay.
And when I started my business, I was another 4 hours north of that. So I'm quite northern Canada. So yes, and I was in his mother's basement and I saw Sue Bryce for the first time in a Creative Live ad. And that was when just magic hit. And as many people can understand, when they see Sue Bryce for the first time, you know, in a moment your life's changing. It's mm-hmm. it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so true. So true. You know, real quick, you had mentioned you were feeling really burned out. I know you said you were going back and forth also, but charging $95 for a shoot, did that contribute at all to your burnout?
Oh my gosh. So by that time, I was charging about $300 and it was still like, I'm like, why is this not working? Like, everybody else around me is charging $300 for photo shoots and how come they're not burning it? But I mean, everyone has different life situations too. And I was just looking to my neighbor as to kind of what people were charging. And I wasn't really understanding the full, like, how much business costs to run. And especially if you want to do this full time, you have to approach it extremely differently than as a hobby.
Well, I wonder too, if maybe you just didn't know if they were burned out.
True.
They might have looked at you and had no idea that you were just feeling like, okay, this is not sustainable, when maybe they were feeling the same way, but everyone's like, well, they're only charging $300. So I guess I'm only charging $300. And it becomes this, like, that's why I think it's so important when we have discussions around what industry standards are and how we need to make sure that people are charging at a level that is considered industry standard, that is much higher than $300, because we know that's not sustainable.
Very true, Nikki. You're totally right there. Yep.
Yeah. It's like we have to set the bar.
We certainly do.
Okay. So you learned of Sue.
I learned of Sue. So, and at that time it was kind of okay, Emily, you're going to have to get a job or you're going to have to figure this out. Like, what do you got to do? And I really trusted Sue. I trusted her story. I could see that it made sense. It was definitely like far out of my comfort zone at the time, especially because at that time I felt like I was the only person that would be trying to charge a more, what I now know is an industry standard. But I started following her and started learning, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna give it a go. Like, what do I have to lose? What I have to lose is I just go back and find another job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I started photographing in my kitchen. My husband would move our table out of the way, and he had to pull our chandelier up high so that I could get underneath it in our dining right. area. And I started building a portfolio as to what Sue was teaching. And I actually remember standing outside. I had to stand outside on our deck to be able to photograph people because our dining area was just so small.
Right. Talk about making it work.
So I totally had to make it work. But we only made it work that way for a little while because it was getting to be far too much. I mean, our house isn't that big. So I started renting a hotel room. And I actually ended up renting a hotel room for these photo shoots for a year. But I have to say, the very first photo shoot I did and I sold with Sue Bryce's method, I sold it on my kitchen table. And I went from a maximum at that point. I maybe sold a $600 portrait session. That was the most I'd sold to date. And I sold the very first Sue Bryce kind of method photo shoot for $1,800 on my kitchen table. And I was like, this is a game changer. Like I'm in, Sue, like teach me everything. So yeah, I ended up continuing on photographing for a year after that in a hotel and just hauling everything in and out and in and out. And it worked really well for a while, but I was primarily shooting boudoir. And it worked really well for me because I was also shooting weddings. But I was realizing that women were coming to their image reveals and saying, I love these portraits. And I was trying to mix in a little bit of the Sue Bryce portraiture in the very small corner of the hotel room that I could. And that was always my favorite part. But they were saying, there's not enough here that I want to put out and display for people. So I was really like, okay, I need a studio. Like I need to get into more of the portrait side of things and less into the boudoir side of things. As much as I, you know, really loved empowering women and body confidence, but there was something drawing me to more of the portrait side of things that wasn't filling me up. And then I saw that Sue Bryce was hosting maybe one of her first in-person workshops. And you were there at that one, Nikki. I was working on with debt. Like I had built up some debt because I just didn't understand how to price properly. Anyway, I couldn't afford to go, but I saw this and I remember messaging Mark and I said, I have to go. Like I just got to go. And I remember I was the very first person to register because I got the awesome email confirmation. You are guest number one. But I was like, I am not missing this. And that weekend with all of you, and I'm still good friends with so many of the women that went to that workshop. It was life-changing for me. It was a community finally where my language was somebody else's language and mm-hmm. I had a place to be. And I think anyone who's attended anything of Sue's in-person workshops, it does. It changes you. And Nikki, you and I were sitting at dinner one night and I was asking you about your studio and if you found that it made a big difference. And because at the time I was under a year in a new city where I knew less than two people when I moved here. And I was like, taking on a lease? That seems like pretty far for me right now. And you just said to go for it. Like your confidence in me was just so certain and so on. I just went with it. And so I got back and it, funnily enough, the stars aligned that a building that I had my eyes on and I went to see a space twice and couldn't afford it. And I knew that was like a dream to have a studio in there. And funnily enough, when I got back from that workshop, the landlord messaged me and said, hey, like just checking in again, we have someone leaving. Is this something that you'd be interested in? And I was just like, yes. Like,
wow.
Let's do it.
Isn't that amazing when your intentions change and your energy changes, how it's like, here you go, you know?
It is. Yeah. The universe is a funny thing. It really is.
Yep. I remember, I'll never forget sitting at dinner with you. We were at that long table. And yep. I remember kind of being like, dang, am I being too direct with her? I think I had a couple glasses of wine by that point. Like, I was just like, Emily, listen, like, your work is amazing. You're so likable. You've done the work already. Like, what is getting in your way? You are. Like, I remember being like, you can do this. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I needed that though, Nikki. Like it was, I needed someone to see what I don't know. I needed that affirmation that I was ready, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice. It's nice to have that affirmation. I mean, it would be even better if we could just give it to ourselves, you know?
Right, like, I know.
But there are times when it helps to have someone that, you know, a different set of eyes really kind of look and see like, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah. And someone too, who has been on the journey, like you'd been on the journey and I'd watched your journey since the very, like I was on a very similar track to where you were. So you knew my path and that's why I trusted you so much because you had walked it.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you got that studio too and you had messaged me and you were so excited. And so, okay, so you get the studio and then were you freaked out? Like, oh great, I have this rent now or?
I had a major breakdown the day before I got the keys and I had a friend come over and sit with me because I just didn't want Mark to see how freaked out I was about this decision because I was trying to be as calm and confident as possible. And we were only we're about a year into our own relationship. So he didn't know me that well. And it was terrifying. I said, like, if I don't make this work, like, this is going to be hard. Like, I'm in trouble. And she just reassured her faith in me. And we just talked it. I just had to talk it out. But the minute I stepped into that studio for the first time, I was meant to be there. The universe said, like, this is yours. Like, you have to fly now. And it was no turning back after that.
Yeah. Wow. That's so incredible. Tell us about the space. And did you have regular clients at that point?
Well, I can't say that they were regular, but by this time I had been in Prince George for just over a year. People were starting to really get to know me. I was a dance teacher at a local studio, so that was great for me. I was getting involved just with different things around the community. So I was starting, my name was starting to kind of pick up a little bit within certain groups. So for me actually starting, it was fantastic. I remember like our first 2 months blew me out of the water. I couldn't believe what, like the transformation that it made to what I was able to do because I had a space and I wasn't having to move everything all the time. But the space itself, it's in this beautifully done, very old-fashioned looking, a little bit European building in Prince George. It's quite iconic for Prince George, so it definitely stands out. We've got these big, beautiful windows. But when I walked into the space, like I definitely had to use my imagination. I had to cover holes in the floor with carpet. The walls were all pink. I had to go in there and paint for days with white just to try and cover everything up. There was really old ratty carpet in there and stuff, but I didn't have the money to change anything other than paint. So actually, I'm pretty sure the landlord paid for the paint if I did it. So I had to put in the sweat labor to do the paint. So it was definitely not the space it is today by any fraction of the word.
Yeah, I just love your space. And now, well, we'll talk about that later, but now what you've done to it to add on to the business is just, it's absolutely incredible. But okay, so I just want to talk a little bit about pricing and packages and what are you offering people, or back then at least, what were you offering people? Did you have an average sale and what did that all look like?
Yeah, so when I opened the studio, my minimum collection or my bottom collection was $1,800. My top collection, I believe, was $3,500. And I would say at that time, like our average sale was about $2,400, $2,500 in our first year. And then it slowly kind of climbed up as the years went by. a few years in, I think by year three we were at $2,800 average. However, I was still using the you can buy just one if you want to. And I think when you're starting out, that is a wonderful way to do it because people don't feel the pressure of having to commit to anything. So that was our original structure starting out.
So for people who are listening who might not know the basics, you know, of the Subrise kind of pricing business model, and then, you know, you can just get one. Tell us a little bit more about that.
The way that we started out was it was a session fee. So I believe people would pay $325 to have the photo shoot done. And then when they see the images, they can decide what it is that they'd like to take home. They can choose to take nothing. They can choose to take one. Or the minimum portrait collection at that time, I believe I had it at nine. So it was nine for $1,800. I could have that wrong, but it was somewhere around there. So we had people sometimes choose collections and we had people sometimes choose just one or two. The difficult part for me with that, there was a beautiful thing about it and a really tough thing about it because when someone sees it, the pricing, and they're like, well, this is great. Like, I'm not held to anything. I'm just going to come and do it. You're building your portfolio. Mm-hmm. You're getting your name out there. You're meeting people. You're getting people falling in love with what you do. Even if they just take one or two, it's still making a huge difference for your business and building up your portfolio. But the hard part with that is that when they're just taking one or two, it can be, it adds up to being a big hit to your business. So you do have to get really good really fast to make sure that people are buying collections and not just one or two.
Yeah, some people, a lot of people do it that way where, and I think that's how Sue always did it too. Well, back when she, you know, now she's just one price and has been for many years. But
yeah,
I think a lot of people do it that way. It's like a safety, comfort feeling. I never did it that way though. I was worried that people would just buy one and I didn't want to spend all my time doing that. Which is funny because yeah. I was so nervous. You would think that I would have done it that way because my confidence was not that great. But for some reason, I was like, no, if someone's going to come in and do a photo shoot, either they're going to buy nothing or they're going to spend $1,200. Like that was my mentality. And so it can work either way.
Yeah, it can. It can. And I think for people who are wanting to build a portfolio, I think it's a wonderful thing. However, if you have a really strong skill and you're coming into the Sue Bryce model with a really strong skill set, what we're doing now, and it sounds like what you're doing too, Nikki, is they have to commit to a minimum collection purchase.
Right.
And that has made a huge difference for us with cash flow, just being able to predict what mm-hmm. money is coming in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's been super helpful for me too. All right. So then from there, I mean, were you just taking on a ton of shoots all the time or, you know, what happened?
Yeah. So from there, word just kind of spread and I was just starting to shoot and shoot and shoot. And I mean, I was just in my zone for a while. It was a beautiful place to be. However, at the time I definitely learned the lesson of when money comes in, like, are you able to keep it? Because for me, I was suddenly making more money than I'd ever made in my life. And there was a part of me that's just like, I just need to give this back. Like, it was hard for me to hold on to it. And so I'd be putting it into our studio wardrobe and putting it into props and putting it into extra things for each client for photo. Like, I just wanted to keep giving it back. And I didn't realize how inefficient I was being with my business. And I was also burning out again because I was like, okay, well, I'm not quite making what I personally want to make. And I'm, you know, charging what I should be charging now. So I was like, okay, I kind of feel like I need something else too, because I love photography. I absolutely adore it, but too much of it. And I was saying to you, Nikki, like it's a bit like eating cake. I love cake, but too much cake just doesn't make me feel very good.
Right.
So I had to say, okay, this is how many shoots a month I feel really good doing. And this is how many shoots a year I feel really comfortable doing. Because also with us in the North, we deal with seasonal depression. And I feel it quite strongly. Like my motivation just drops considerably in the early year. And also it affects other people around us too. And so I was finding that our winters were quite challenging with the business. So I said, okay, I want to shoot minimally. I want to shoot really well and put everything I have into every shoot I've got and just make clients exceptionally happy and make me happy. But I want to have something where I can rest from photography so that I can refill that part of myself. And that's where at the time I had my assistant who just happened to come from the bridal world, and I was getting married at that time. And I realized that there was a missing piece to the puzzle up here in the North for contemporary bridal dresses. And so we had this idea of, hey, this would be a perfect thing to bring to the North, because it's not here. Girls are traveling down to Vancouver to find these dresses. It very, very quickly happened that we expanded to another lease space in our building and built a bridal boutique.
Okay, so let me get this straight. I love this so much. And it's like such a... like a girl... Well, okay, I shouldn't say all girls, but some girls. It's just like a fantasy of just... wedding dresses and photo shoots and like, it's just, it's so cool. It's, and I know that's not everyone's fantasy or whatever, but you know, it's, you've created just such a beautiful space and a beautiful business. And then to add into this wedding dresses, it like gets even, it's even more amazing. And I love, it's so smart as a business person. Well, first of all, identifying that you can only shoot so much before you start to feel overwhelmed. And I'm the same. I'm the same. If I have too many shoots back to back, I feel it. Like, I'm just, I don't enjoy it. Like, I have to space it out as well. So, one, addressing that, and two, thinking like, okay, how can I supplement this? Like, what else can I do that, you know, addresses my creative side and brings in the income or whatever? And then to look at what was missing in your area. I mean, have you always been a, like a smart business person in this way, or, you know?
Well, I'm a little bit, what would you call it? I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur. So my ideas for business are just never ending. And I'm sure we can talk about this later, but I mentor women in business now, creative women in business. And it's not just photography, like all sorts of different creative businesses. And Sue was actually the person when we had met Nikki with another group that one time, they identified that in me and said I needed to be really careful with it because, you know, you can only do so much. So for me, putting that energy now of all these ideas and ways of doing things with different systems, putting that into other people has nourished that side of my brain that I can now focus in on these two businesses that I have without running in a million different directions.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So how do these businesses complement each other? How do they work?
Yeah. So it was actually a bit of a surprise how well they fit together. Like, it's peanut butter and jelly. It's so, so amazing how well they fit together. So when I first started the Bridal Boutique, so our two businesses were right door to door next to each other. So from about September to the end of February is when bridal is really busy because people are purchasing their dresses for the rest, for the summer, for the most part. And then our photography is super busy from around April to the end of September. So the seasons of their height is completely the opposite. As soon as our kind of our portrait season starts to die down, the bridal picks up. And so it beautifully matches our energy, as well as the time of the year. And also, so I have my portrait business running on Sundays, Mondays. And then I do obviously at home work during the week with prepping the images, et cetera. But then our bridal runs Wednesday to Saturday. So it's very, it feels like two very different things, but they complement each other extremely well.
Right. And especially you said during that seasonal depression time, I feel like that might help a little bit when you have like such positive energy coming in. People are getting married, they're excited, and you get to, you know, just deal with the beautiful dresses and it's cool.
Yeah, huge. And it's a very different, different type of energy that goes into those appointments. So, and the neat thing is, Sue taught me how to start a portrait business. Yes, but Sue taught me a lot more than that. Like Sue, I feel like anyone who has this inkling to start something, like you take what Sue has taught you and it applies to everything. Mm-hmm. So her business sense transferred onto this business as well. It felt like starting this business was 10 times easier than starting my portrait business because I had already done the work to figure out how I needed to present myself and present this business.
Yes, absolutely. That makes so much sense. Okay, so when you decided you were going to open the bridal salon, did you rent another space next to yours or is it in the same space?
Yeah, so when we first started the bridal boutique, we rented the space right next door to my portrait studio. And I didn't realize at the time how well these businesses would blend. I thought it would need to be open all the time or, you know, just running completely differently with a completely different schedule. But we actually managed to pretty well utilized the same team, which was just me and one other assistant, between both businesses. And so anyway, for the first 3 years, that's how we did it. We were in the one space, and it worked really well. But I realized about maybe a year and a half in that I'm not being very efficient here with my business. And I am utilizing way too much space. There's so much space sitting all the time, empty, that's not being used because we were either on one side or the other. Also, the light in our boutique was just pretty poor compared to our studio. So after some deliberation and also I had been on a journey to understand too the intricacies of the efficiency of my business, I think what kind of once you get to a certain point in your sales, you start to look at how can I maximize my business without having to push myself harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was. I was at maximum capacity. I couldn't possibly do any more. And I wanted to be happier. I didn't want to have to work quite as hard. So in about a year and a half in, I realized, okay, I need to let go of this space and utilize my one studio space. So our studio space, it's just over 1,200 square feet. Like, it's a good size. So what we've done recently, we actually just completed it like a week ago. All the walls in my studio came out. It's now one big open space with a storage area and a change room. And we lifted the ceilings up, so the light is just stunning. And now what we do, we have all of our dresses on racks in the studio, and it operates as a bridal boutique the majority of the time. But when we have photo shoots, these dresses will be just wheeled off to the side and kind of stored in their own little area. And then it suddenly becomes a portrait studio, and we can do the switch in under 10 minutes. So it's a wonderful use of our space. The space is 10 times more beautiful because we're now just putting all our effort into one versus two. Far more effective for me business-wise over the long run, because we're obviously not leasing two spaces. But also, Nikki, what's wonderful is we're seeing the ideal client for our bridal boutique that I want to photograph. So this is the really cool thing, is when people walk into our bridal boutique, as we're mostly calling a boutique for now, on the right-hand side, we have our reveal wall. And so people can see our portrait work when they come for bridal. So it definitely is an incredible cross-promotion of businesses that we can now say, this is also where we host these beautiful portrait sessions. This is what our sessions look like. It just creates that conversation. Whereas before, when we were in the bridal boutique next door, it was more difficult to give people the understanding of what that could look like because the spaces were so different.
That's so brilliant. It's so brilliant. And like you said, it becomes natural conversation because the photos are just right there. You know, people could ask about them. And especially, you know, when you're walking into a store and maybe the friends or the family of the bride is, you know, they're waiting while the bride is trying on her dresses. And then, you know, it's something they can talk about, like, ooh, look at these, you know.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So that's kind of the goal, is to bring up our portrait sessions and to talk about them well, because we always need something to talk about. We're with the bridal party and it's always a private appointment. We never have more than one going on at a time. So we're talking with them for a good hour and a half. We get to know each other really well. And so it's a beautiful way to build a relationship and also potentially book them as another client. So I'll be interested to see how it works actually, like this, if it makes a big difference.
Do you do any sort of like vouchers or anything to your brides or mothers of the bride? Or, you know, is it just, if you want to book a shoot, here's our information?
Yeah. So what we're putting into place, if they purchase their wedding dress through us, they'll receive their deposit towards a portrait session, and they can give it to somebody if they want, if they're not going to use it, or they could utilize it for themselves. So our deposit, we've kind of done some restructuring in the is since the health crisis. So our deposit is now $325. And so that will go towards a collection of their choosing if they want to. So it is a bit of a, just a little bit of a help to get them through the door if they choose to do that.
Yeah, that's so smart. That's so smart. I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but would you be able to guess sort of a percentage of your clients who come, you know, become clients because of the boutique?
Well, because we now have them in the boutique, Nikki, I think it might be, I don't know how I would be able to guess that from what we've done before. I mean, it is a lower amount because people are coming for a very different reason. Mm-hmm. And they're also putting their money into a wedding. But we do get lots of inquiries for boudoir. So there is that element to it. It has gone the other way too, where we've had people for portrait photography and now they turn into our bridal clients. So I love that you asked that question and I'm going to keep track of it.
I'm just really curious. Well, and it's interesting. It's like you're doing business to business marketing, but it just happens to be both of your businesses.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's really, really cool. It makes me, you know, start to think like, what other business could I bring in that would... Yeah. Oh, this is so cool. I want to go back for a second when you talk about the efficiency and how something that you had really worked hard on is the efficiency. And I'd love to hear more about that. That's something that I've been working on as well, is how to make the most out of my time and my energy. And I'm wondering if you'll talk a little bit more about that, like how that has helped your business or helped you in general.
When I'm mentoring students now, I talk about it as a growth phase and a pruning phase. And I think that if you think of your business like a tree, your tree can just keep growing and growing and growing. But when you prune a tree is when it becomes this dense, beautiful thing that's producing potentially lots of fruit. So it doesn't mean that it's not growing. It just means that you're making it more efficient, more dense. So you're getting more out of it for less, essentially less space or less of your time. For me, I definitely got to the point where, okay, it's either I add more people to my team. I did try bringing on another photographer. I realized how much work that was going to be to mentor and coach and push that forward. And Sue said to me when we were at this coaching group that you and I were at, Nikki, she said, if I were to do it all over again and I were to start out, I would start out super boutique and I would push myself to the point where I couldn't take on any more and have people working to promote me versus building out a team. And at that point, then decide kind of thing what would happen. But anyway, the word boutique was something that just set off fireworks in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I started researching more what boutique meant because I always thought of it as a noun. But if you think of boutique as a verb, it's creating something that is so special and highly, highly desired that you don't need a lot of it to be satisfied. It's just super special. So for me, the best way forward for me personally with my energy, and I know what I feel best taking on, it was to create something where I could work minimally, I could put out the best work I could possibly do, and have the most amount of profit coming back to me because of it versus putting all of that out just into small things that were just eating up my time and space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. It's such a mental shift. It really is.
And also, Nikki, I started researching a while back, how do you sell a business? And what does that mean when you sell a business? Because I've started thinking long-term as well, because I think once you get to a certain point as well, you think, okay, well, I've retirement and I've got to keep myself safe and all these things. And so I started researching what it means to actually sell your business. Something that was quite prominent in my brain was they said, the more valuable you become inside your business, the less valuable your business becomes at the end of the day, because it's really, really hard to sell a business when the business is completely dependent on your talent. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the bridal business, it allowed me something where I'm one day going to be able to sell that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to be able to sell it as a boutique and studio to another photographer. Whereas my photography business, that name goes with me. Like, it's going to die with me. It's me. I can't sell myself. So I had to kind of turn the way I looked at business to be more of a, what is my job and what is the business that I'm growing? And so now I look at photography. This is a wonderful job for myself. I love it. I can, you know, produce savings and put some into investing. And then my business is my investment. So one day I will be selling the boutique and studio. And most likely it's going to go to a wedding photographer hoping to turn into a portrait photographer.
Yeah, right. That seems like a good meshing of the two worlds.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This is all so powerful. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation because I never knew that part of it. I mean, I've been watching your growth and I've been watching how, you know, you opening the boutique and everything, but I never really thought about what you had said about setting it up as a business to sell. There have been times when I thought, because now that I'm in Michigan, I go back and forth. Like, is it worth me keeping my Seattle studio open? And I do have an associate photographer there, which is so wonderful. And she does do shoots for me sometimes. But like you said, it's all built. Everything is built in. It's me. You know, it's my name. And yeah. And a lot of times people are like, nope, I want to wait for you. And there's times where I'm like, well, I'm not even gonna, like, especially right now, I was supposed to be doing all of these shoots end of March, first week of May, all in Seattle, and I couldn't go. So my studio has sat there. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm paying studio rent there. Anyway, I'm totally going off on, you know, I digress. Yeah. But the point that you made is, yes, my business is all, it's all me. It's all my name. So the thought of selling that sort of branch in Seattle, I don't know that it's even possible. So it's interesting to hear you and talk about this.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think it works differently for different people. And I think it's completely fine to not want or to not have a business that you could one day sell and just, you know, work through your lifetime and save appropriately and whatnot. But for me, there was this, I think I just wanted to know that I could do it. Maybe that was my thing. Like, I wanted to have something that if I was going on holiday, it could keep running without me easily, without having to have someone with this like really strong skill set to be able to take on these portraits. Because let's admit it, like portrait photography, it takes a really talented person. And people, like you say, Nikki, they want you. And that's the hard thing when your name is on your business, is they want you. Yeah, it's an interesting journey.
Your boutique is called White Willow. Is that right?
White Willow Bridal Boutique, yes.
Yeah, White Willow. Because that's something that could easily be transferred into like White Willow Photography or something as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So when it comes to the day that we do look at selling it, it will be White Willow Bridal Boutique and Studio. And then whoever takes that on will be able to take it in whatever direction they want to as a studio space type thing. And hopefully by then it has this, it obviously like the space itself or where it is itself has this, people understand that there's a beautiful photography studio there and it will amplify the value of what that business is.
Right.
And also, Nikki, just to speak to efficiency again and why efficiency is so important. So looking through my research, when it comes to selling a business, your efficiency is what really matters when it comes to placing the value on the sale of the business. I mean, the efficiency, yes, but also the brand. So the brand of the business, but also the what is left over at the end of the day that is going to make it worth it for someone to say, yes, this is worth it for me to invest into this business. So the more efficient I can make the business and the more profitable I can make the business when it comes time to the day that one day I sell it, the most that I'm going to be able to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so brilliant. There are a couple thoughts on that. One is when you say about making it the most profitable, and Sue talks about this a lot too, where you don't need all the bells and whistles. I think people think you need this huge wardrobe and all the like amazing frame, you know, gold accent frames on the wall and all of that. And if you have the money for it and you want to spend it and that's, you know, valuable to you, then sure, do it. But I'm in the same mindset as you where it's like, nope, I don't need all of that because that is not what is making my business profitable. I know my strengths, and my strengths are service, my ability to make people feel beautiful and to create beautiful photos for people that are flattering, that are going to help with their marketing, to help make them, you know, to have family legacies, whatever. So all of that I know. It's not the sequin dress. It's not the super fancy makeup table. Yes, it's so beautiful and I love all of those things and they're jewel worthy or whatever, but that's not what is making me money. So regardless of whether or not you're setting your business up to sell or whatever, it's just to be efficient and to be the most profitable while providing this service to your clients, it just, that seems like the ultimate goal.
Yes, I completely agree, Nikki. And I can definitely say that I'm probably one of the most minimalist photographers around. I have two cameras, two lenses, and then I utilize still the same things that Sue initially taught before she even started teaching
same.
With lighting.
Yep.
And I like it that way. Like, I do need to push myself and learn about the lighting, but at the same time, it hasn't slowed me down at all not having all those things. But yeah, I think the value definitely for me comes from my ability to serve and my ability to make people happy and feel beautiful and feel special and to give them a really beautiful experience. But you definitely don't need all these fancy things to get started by any means.
Right, for sure. The other thing I was thinking is it never occurred to me to ever want to sell my business until I moved back to Michigan and I saw how it was just getting labor intensive going back and forth and paying for the studio there and still. So that's the first time that ever really crossed my mind. And
yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to have to do some serious evaluation around all of this. And, you know, and I have another brand that I've started. Well, although, okay, so I wonder if you're similar to me, and I think a lot of people out there are probably going to relate to this. It's like, I feel like I have a decade. I have a decade that I'm so interested and passionate about something. And then it's like that decade ends and I'm like, huh, I kind of feel like I'm ready to do something else. And then, you know, I'm finding this like 10-year sort of, and it's not that I completely let go of what I was doing before. I integrate that into my next, what am I doing next sort of thing? What am I passionate about now? And what can I grow now? And so the idea at some point, like you said, we're going to have to retire. I mean, we can't be slinging a camera when we're 80. I mean, I guess we could, you know, we could,
yes.
But, you know, I don't know that I'll want to be.
You want it to be on your terms eventually, right? You want
totally.
To be able to pick up a camera when you want to at some point.
So when I think about, like, I have another brand that I started Busy as a Mother, and I'm like, huh, you know, it's not really photography related at all, but I'm like, huh, I wonder if something that in the end, it's not necessarily my name. I'm growing it as a different brand, just like you are with White Willow. So as people progress and look for change and growth and planning, I think that's so important as business owners, even if you're just getting started, you know, to really, okay, I don't want to overwhelm people because I think people out there who are just getting started now are probably thinking like, what the hell? Seriously, I'm just getting here. Don't make me think about like retirement and done. So that's not where I'm going with this. But I do think as business owners, these are things we have to think about. We don't get pensions. We don't get, you know, life insurance handed to us and health insurance handed to us. So we do have to think about investment in our long-term future. And I think this is a really good discussion to have.
We do. And you know what, Nikki? I feel like potentially had I had thought more fully about this to begin with, which is why it's kind of great for people to be hearing about this stuff right now, is that you might rethink of the strategy of how you build your business from the start. Because we know we have several friends, you and I, that own multiple studios. They've built the business on a brand that's outside of themselves. And it's super powerful and people can do it that way. And if that's the business you love and like you love the business of portrait photography, I think people can make a real go of it. But for me, I love the job of photography. I wasn't as in love with the business around building this massive studio. I just love doing it myself. But I love the business of being in bridal. Like I just love it. It's so much fun and just a completely different world. And like you, Nikki, I've got some online business that I'm building too. And I think that's another avenue that you can really start to push yourself in, and it's never ending. Like it's a glass ceiling with online business. So,
And then also too, it seems like a lot of my photography clients have transitioned into like listening to my Busy as a Mother podcast. And it's like, whatever you grow, as long as you are providing service to your clients, whether it's through your portrait business or your past business that you're, you know, getting out of or whatever that is, you know, an old job, mm-hmm. as long as you are providing great service and connecting with these people and making them clients for life, often they'll follow you into your next endeavor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and people love to watch what you're going to do. They love to be a part. They'd love to feel like they've been a part of your journey because they just want to go on the ride with you. And yeah, it's not starting over. Mm-hmm. It's just adding on. Like I'm a person of expansion. Like I'm constantly expanding. Mm-hmm. Feel a bit like the universe in that way. And I have to answer that, but I'm also doing it now I'm trying to do it as smart as I can because I know that about myself. I know I'm going to always be growing and evolving, but I also have to be super smart to remember that the things that I have built, you don't want to lose the momentum that they are having either.
Right, right. That's a very important point. I remember Sue talking about that before. You don't want to like kill something in order to grow something new. Like something that is something you're doing really well with, even though maybe you're looking for a transition. For example, if you're out there right now and you're looking to do a job change, like don't feel like you have to just all of a sudden start sucking at the job that you're doing or whatever, just so you can grow this business. Like keep doing what you're doing and do it well, if that's your source of income and whatever, as you're growing the business. You don't have to like destroy things in order to grow something new. You can do it in a smart, graceful way. It just makes it so much better that way.
I think like Sue is the walking example of that. Like she's still doing what she loves, but her expansion and her growth, she's done it all very thoughtfully. Yeah, I really admire how Sue has built her business and how she's continuing to evolve. It's pretty amazing to watch.
Do you remember what year it was that we were at dinner when I was like, Emily, you can do this? That workshop. Oh,
man. I think it must have been about 2015, 2016. It might have been, yeah, it's at least 5 years because right. I've had my studio for 5 years. So, okay, so it's probably just over 5 years.
Yeah. So I want to bring that back up because in that time, you know, at that dinner, at Sue's workshop, I know you were really inspired, but you were still scared and you still needed that push. So getting that push that weekend, just from everything you learned, I mean, mm-hmm. 5 years later, you've got a bridal boutique and you have what, like a $2,500 sales average for photos, or is it even higher than that?
No, I would say I was trying to work this out before I got on the call. I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't done this in a while. I think it's about
$3,900, mm-hmm. Emily.
That's for our signature sessions. Yeah.
So in 5 years, you have managed to create an incredibly successful, not one, but two businesses. So people out there listening, just know that it is possible. It doesn't have to, obviously a lot happened within that 5 years, of course.
Tons, yes.
But I just, yeah. I think it's just such an inspiring thing for people to hear that within only 5 years, look what you've accomplished.
Yeah, I think that we can overestimate what we can do in a year and we can underestimate what we can do in 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like if you were to say that I would have accomplished all this in 5 years, I wouldn't have believed you. But 5 years, like you, if you can make traction in that time frame for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've done it. You're living proof. So, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Nikki. Like the area that I'm in, when I moved here from Dawson Creek, which is a very small town, and the town that I'm in now, we're a population of about 75,000 people, but we're quite remote in the north. We're kind of the northern hub of BC. And I remember people saying to me, Emily, this isn't going to fly here. Like, you can't do this here. People aren't going to, like, we don't buy luxury or whatever the excuses were. But for me, coming from such a small town, I was able to see this as a huge potential. And I was able to kind of maybe see things that people who had lived here their whole life weren't able to see. And it's amazing. I think sometimes you just have to show people what they want and they're going to buy it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially if you love it and you believe in its value and how powerful it is and that it's going to change the way they perceive themselves and how they approach life. I mean, anywhere would love something like this, no mm-hmm. matter where you are.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Wow. Well, you've definitely given me a lot of food for thought. So this has been really great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nikki.
Okay. So I do have a couple other questions that I ask everyone at the end of the episode. Number one is, what is something you can't live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
So I was trying to think of this and I was like, well, obviously the basic stuff, but I have to have a Coke Zero with me. I don't know why. Like, it's not, I mean, that's not going to help anybody, but if I don't have that, like, I don't know. I just need to have that little zap of energy during a shoot.
Yep.
And people know, they're like, oh, Emily's whipping out the Coke Zero. Like, we're getting serious now.
That's so funny. Are you a coffee drinker?
No, I don't drink coffee. Okay.
See, I'm the same, and my Diet Coke is my vice, and I really only drink it like on a shoot day or like,
yes.
You know, I try not to keep it in my house. Like, it's very, I know it's bad. Everybody tells me how horrible it is, I get that. But it's so funny because I am the same. Like, shoot days, I always go through a drive-thru like Einstein Bagels or something and get a large Diet Coke. I don't know. And I don't drink coffee either. Sue always laughs at me whenever we travel or whatever. She knows, like, it's for me, it's not coffee. It's a Diet Coke. Always.
Yep. Yep. So. Same, Nikki. That's so funny that you share that with me. Yeah, that is exactly my case with it, too.
Yeah. One of my makeup artists is always like, you got to stop the Diet Coke. And I'm like, I know. Can you just not shame me right now? Like, please.
Give me my one thing.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. Number two, how do you spend your time when you're not working?
Yeah, so when I'm not working, my husband and I, we're quite outdoorsy people. We have a chocolate lab. We have a little baby on the way.
Yay,
so
I
mean, we've been spending a lot of time thinking about that. My family now has this small little acreage. Well, it's a small 20-acre acreage down in Salmon Arm, and I love spending my time there. So we're typically outdoors and canoes or hiking or with our animals down on the farm. Like, I am definitely an outdoorsy girl.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Okay, number three, what's your favorite inspirational quote?
So, I mean, I love quotes. I absolutely love them. But the one that's kind of drilled into my brain is actually a quote that my dad stands behind. It's like his life quote. And it's, half an effort is no better than no effort at all.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So that was drilled into me since I was very young.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go dad.
Yeah. Go dad.
Okay. Number four, what would you say to people who are just getting started?
Oh man. I would just say, don't stop. Just keep going. There's going to be so many ups and so many downs, and you just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. It isn't a nice progressive line slanted up. It's up and down and up and down and up and down. You'll just become resilient to it over time.
Great advice. And if people want to find you online, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I mean, our Instagram and our website are the same. So Instagram is whitewillowbridalboutique.ca and emilyjanephotography.ca. And that's the same for our Instagram and our website.
Awesome.
You can also find us on Facebook.
I encourage people to follow you. It's very, very, Thanks. Very beautifully visually done, for sure.
Thanks, so, Nikki.
Yeah. I feel like I could talk to you all day. Like, we need to
schedule. I could talk
we need
to
schedule
too.
A time to just like, yeah.
We talking. Do. I would love that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, honey. Well, thank you so much for being on the Portrait System today. We'll chat soon.
Thank you, Nikki. I appreciate it so much.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today to the Portrait System podcast. If you like what you heard, we would really love for you to leave us a 5-star review either on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And I really, really want to encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com. Over there, you can find all of the education you need to become a successful photographer. It's only $35, and there are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 12-week startup program that I love, and there are posing downloads, lighting downloads, I mean, truly everything to help make you not only a better photographer, but to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.